Good morning, everybody. Are we all bright and cheery this morning? It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
I think God's got a good message for us today. I want to read a scripture and start out, and then I want to pray. And in John it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your greatness today, Lord. We thank you that you're the name that's above every name. We thank you that you're lifted on high and that we worship you today. Lord, we pray that your words will be life and health to us today. Lord, we pray that the words that would come out of this message would affect our hearts and grip our hearts and cause us to advance the kingdom of God. We ask these things all in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'd like to title my message today, Living in the Overflow. And sometimes we don't talk a lot about here, about maybe prosperity, and maybe because sometimes that can get a bad name from, you know, some people, they just name it and claim it. But I believe God wants us to live a prosperous life. He wants everyone here to be blessed. And that's what the Bible says. It says that in John. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That's not my words. That's the word of the Lord. I like how the New King James, sometimes we read it in different translations. And I grew up with the King James and I convert back and forth. But the New King James says, "Behold, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health." God wants us to live this prosperous life. And you know, when we think of our lives, we probably think, well, you know, I don't always prosper. Now, in the beginning, God intended us all to be blessed, all to be prosperous. In the garden, they had no wants. No needs. Everything was there. There was an abundance. But what happened was there was a fall. The fall of man. And when man fell, it caused struggles in life. And it caused us to work hard. It caused us to stumble in life and to struggle. And you know, but God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live this overflow life, this blessed life. We hear lots of people talking about the blessed life. But God really does want us to live prosperous. You see, the enemy is the one that comes to try to steal our stuff. And it says that in the Bible. It says that the devil comes to what? Steal. He comes to rob. I just want to identify before we get in this where we're at. The enemy can come and he can steal. But listen, how many people know here that our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? He owns it all. He created it all. God wants us to live this blessed life. So I'm going to go right into Malachi. And I want to read a few scriptures here to base out what I want to say today. And I'm going to start right off at Malachi 3:8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have I robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." That's a powerful passage of scripture. And there's a lot of things that are said in there. And I just kind of want to work down some thought process on how God wants to bless us and use us in life so that we don't have to struggle in our life. And some of the stuff I'm going to say today is not going to be really complicated. My first point is plant a seed. If you want to be blessed in life, you have to plant a seed. You have to put seed in the ground. If you want to be blessed, you got to give. The Bible says this, to bring all the tithes in the storehouse. Now, I have this farming background, and we put things in the ground. We put seed in the ground. If I want to grow barley, I put barley in the ground. If I want to grow oats, I put oats in the ground. I plant seeds in the ground. And so in life, there's so many things that we need to put in the ground. The Bible says that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. What are we sowing? Are we sowing? It's not just all about money that I'm talking about today. Are we sowing division or are we sowing unity? Are we sowing love or are we sowing hate? There's so many things in our life that we plant in the grounds. Today I want to concentrate on financial things. But in order to receive a harvest, you got to plant something. So if I didn't plant anything in my field, what would I get? It's a bunch of weeds. It's a bunch of garbage. But I plant seeds. Right? And it really matters how much you plant too. The Bible says you plant a little bit, you're going to get a little bit. You plant a lot, you're going to get a lot. What are you planting? And how much are you planting? I think it's important for us today to plant in the things of God. And plant in different areas of our life. And I'll tell you a story. When we sold our first house, moved up onto the farm and built a house there, we had this long driveway or laneway that would go from, say, here to Fisher Hallman. We kind of like to live like the Mennonite people, way back in, which is good life. It's privacy. So we were trying to grass the side of our long roadway in. So I sent my wife out there. And I took the tractor out, took this great big bag of seed and give her a little hand spreader. And I said, you know, start spreading this and do both sides while I'm doing something else. And she's like, perfect. So I leave her because I go to do more things, right, down by the house. Look, I wasn't gone like 10 minutes. My wife comes to me. She says, I'm all out of seed. I'm like, what do you mean you're all out of seed? She goes, I'm all out. I'm like, no, this bag was a big bag. Like, you can't be out of seed. The amount of seed I gave her would do like 20 acres almost. Because if we used what's called triple mix, and I just explain that to non-farming people. You guys probably know grass as bluegrass or something like that, different types of grass. But when you're planting hay, it's timothy and two types of clover. Yeah, I guess you can mix different things, but the triple mix we used was that. It's cheaper. We were under seed. I don't know if you know what that means. If you planted oats this year, you would plant some of this triple mix with it, cut the oat crop off. The next year, the hay crop comes up through the triple mix. So there was tons of seed. And so I'm like, Dee, I'm like, you had enough to do 20 acres. You're just doing strip about as wide as the wall to here. And she only got, like, to the back, say, door done, which we had to do, like, clear to Fisher Hallman. But I'm saying this for a point. She planted a lot of seed. Now, when we mowed every year, guess what? I had to mow that, like, it seemed like it grew an inch every hour. Like the other sections, I could mow once a week. That one section, I have to mow it all day. Because it would just grow and it would be so thick and clumpy. And I mean, you could drive in and it was, you could tell, right? I had cleaned some of it up. Some days it'd get too long, throw it in the bucket and take it down and feed it to the horses. You know, I'm saying that for a point though. If you plant a little bit, you get a little bit. She overplanted, but you know what? We had the thickest plot of grass that you could imagine, and we could not keep up with it by times, especially in the spring when it was raining. But that's a practical point in our life, forgiving. What are you sowing in your life? If you're only getting a little bit, you're not going to live in that abundance. You're not going to live in that overflow. You're not going to have it growing just constantly in your life. Plant. And don't just take this as money. You know, plant goodness in people, or plant love, or plant, you know, if plant healing scriptures in your body, or plant deliverance scriptures in your body. You know, repeat them over and over. But what seeds are you planting? Yes. It's important to plant the right seeds. You know, just as I would plant oats or barley, you know, I didn't want to plant like a ragweed or something. Right? It's important what we plant. We reap what we sow. And the Bible says that. It says, for whatever a man sows, that will he reap. It's important, folks, today to live in the abundance, to live in this blessed life that we hear everybody talk about. It's that we got to plant the right things in life and plant enough of it. Second of all, this is not hard again. So we know we got to stick a seed in the ground. Got to plant seed. Now let's plant in fertile ground. How many people know that when you plant in unfertile ground, things don't grow? A farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across the field, some fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rocks. The seeds sprouted up quickly because the soil was so shallow. But the plants soon withered out under the hot sun. And since they didn't have any deep root, they dried up. Others fell among thorns that grew up and choked out tender plants. Still others fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as they planted. We need to plant in good ground. If you want to live in an overflow position, plant in a good organization. Plant in a church or an organization that's going somewhere, that has vision, that's doing something. Plant in a ministry that's having results, that's going forward. It's very important. You know, as a farmer, we don't plant on rocky ground. You guys have nice soil here in southern Ontario. In New Brunswick, we have very good soil for potatoes, but it's rocky ground. And so we have to pick a lot of rocks, or there's ledgy parts, and so we go around that, and we lose that part of the fields, right? And I've planted fields before that I was trying to get more fertile, but you'd plant a field and there'd be a dominant weed that would show up every year and choke out that amount of seed. Plant in fertile grounds. It's very important, folks, that we take our seed and we put it in good ground. Thirdly, abundant supply. Now, in Kings, there was a widow woman that only had a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil left, and she said to Elijah, or Elijah said to her, make me a meal, and she said, this is all I have, and he said, make it for me first. She made the meal for him first, And what happened? There was a continual flow, a continual abundance. Every time she went to those jars, there was food in it. You see, when we plant our seed, there's a continual flow, right? And when we give what God gives us back, there's a continual flow. Now, if I was growing, I learned this too from my grandfather, but I learned it as being a farmer. If you're growing oats or barley or whatever, what would happen if I fed all my oats to my cows? What would happen the next year? I'd have no feed left. I would have nothing to feed them. They'd go hungry. They'd starve. They'd die. But what does most farmers do? Take out a percentage. So they have it for the next year and they keep planting. Every year they're planting. They're planting. They're planting. They're planting. So that they can have a crop, have a harvest every year. You see, we can't just give a one-time thing. We can't just say, well, I'm going to give the Lord $5, and then 6 months later say, well, I'll give him another $5. It doesn't work like that. You don't live in the abundance. You don't live in the overflow. You got to do it consistently. My wife and I, we consistently gave our whole life. We always paid our tithe first. And if there was a project going on at the church, or if a minister come in and we felt it, like in our spirit, like we need to give some money to this ministry, we would give. And sometimes we needed the money for other things. But the Lord always blessed us. Always blessed us. You know, I'd be working in church and I was working as a salesman and we needed the money, but we felt to give this and we did it. And what would happen? I might get 3 or 4 deals come right along and get 10 times what I gave. Because that's how God works. When we give, he gives it back. That abundant supply. There's a continuous supply when we do things like that. Bible says, if we give, it shall be given to us. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God wants us to give. Sometimes we want to hang on to that stuff. We want to hold that stuff in. But when we give on a consistent basis, God gives it back to us. You see, these things help us live this victorious life. You see, we give to the Lord, why? To advance the kingdom. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't. He wants our heart. You see, money controls this world. Money controls our life. Money controls whatever we do, if we let it. But it does determine our future. It determines everything we do. But see, God wants us to put him first. And when we put him first, we're putting him in the driver's seat, giving him control of our finances, giving him control of our money, and then the blessings come. Right? Because we want to do it on our own first. Well, if I have enough left over, I'll give it to you, God. We've all been there, you know. We've all been down that road. But we want to live this blessed life. This abundant life. Do you know that you can have the favor of God on your life? In whatever you do. Here's what Deuteronomy says. It says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only and not beneath. Wow. We're the head and not the tail. Sometimes we live like tail, though, because we get our principles out of line. Don't live like the tail. Live like the head, right? The tail is the worst end of the... Is it not? It's always getting rid of the crap. I don't want to live like the tail. I don't want to always be dealing with that stuff. I want to be living as the head. God says that you're the head and not the tail. And that you're above and you're not beneath. Sometimes we just need to step up into that and say, hey, I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. The favor of God is what's on our life. And if we give it, shall be given to us, pressed down, shaken together. It made me think of the story of Wayne Myers. Wayne Myers was an old, fiery preacher. And he used to come to our church some, but he was a great missionary to Mexico and wrote books. And he was, you know, strong in the faith movement. And he would go to Mexico and take, I can remember when I was at the Bible school, he would take teams there, young people from Bible college, and go up in the mountains and preach. And he started several churches in the mountains. And, you know, he would tell these people that were so poor, he'd say, you need to give to God. And they would say, well, I don't have nothing. He says, like, you need to plant a seed. You plant a seed and it'll grow. And they're like, well, I don't have anything. And he said, okay, if you don't have anything, go find the nicest rocks you can find, the prettiest ones you can get, and bring them and put them on the altar in his little, you know, church in the hills. And he said, before you knew it, they would start bringing rocks, put them all these fancy, like, I can't live off rocks. You know, he was quite comical that way. He said, I can't live off rocks. But they'd start bringing rocks. And before you knew it, God would honor their faith because their heart was right. And they would get, their chicken might give extra eggs, and they would start bringing some eggs, and then they'd start bringing some chickens in, and then they would start bringing some other livestock. You see, you can't outgive God. When you begin to give out of the right heart and the right spirit, and you begin to plant that seed in multiple times, God is going to honor that, and he is going to bless you, and he's going to bring a blessing in your life that you can't imagine. Because the Bible says, what's it say? It says he will open up, right? The windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't contain. How many people here want a blessing they can't contain? I do. I want the Lord to pour out so much on me that I don't know what to do with it all. But that's what the Bible says. He says we should receive that. But bring all the tithes, it says, and the offerings into the storehouse. There's a principle of giving there. And when we do that, we can live in that overflow, that abundance. We're not robbing from God. We're putting him first in our life. And we're planting that seed every day, every week. We're giving, and that overflow begins to take place. You see, the Christians should be the one that are blessed financially. We should be blessed more than the world. And we should be walking in that. We should be able to help the poor people that need it. We should be able to not be limited in our funds so that we can't reach our community. We should be so wealthy that we can constantly reach. But you see, if we allow the enemy to rob us of the blessing, we can't reach. See, that's what the enemy does. He comes to steal. My fifth point is God will rebuke the enemy in your life. It says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. I will rebuke the devourer. That just popped at me a week or two ago. I've read this whole scripture my whole life. And you know how, like, all of a sudden just the light bulb comes on? Well, I read that whole scripture and then, or that whole passage, and then that light bulb came on a couple weeks ago. It says, he'll rebuke the devourer. And I thought about that in my life. I started to go back in time. You know, we started giving to the Lord faithfully, my wife and I, since the time we were married. And we would put that first over all our bills. We still paid our bills. And, you know, by doing that, You know, I can just remember there was times over and over and over again there was money in our accounts that we didn't know, you know, how we had money left over. And we were constantly, my great uncle had a church in the East Coast, and they were very, always building out like this church, just constantly. And we were giving from a cheerful heart. Like, we couldn't wait to get the church to give. Right? That's how we were. That's the mindset we had. And we would sit around with couples from the church, and we'd be like, you know, talking about our finances. And we would be talking about, like, I don't know how it's happening, but we're paying all our bills. We have money left over, but when you do the math what we make, it doesn't seem to add up. We're living in the overflow. And I got thinking about how the enemy, how God rebuked the enemy. I started thinking about my family and how different times in my life my kids were in accidents. I had all three kids in different accidents, car accidents. And they all walked away with not a scratch on them. Not a scratch. Totaled vehicles. I can remember Hannah, they left her out through the back window. Big truck like mine, wrote right off. He rebukes the devourer that comes to attack. I'm telling you, folks, this stuff works. Times that we needed money to pay our insurance and our property taxes on the farm, and we didn't have it. But God provided just at the right time. He rebuked the devourer. I'm telling you, folks, these are keys that we need to really grab hold of in our life. I'm telling you, if you can hook on to planting the seed every week and putting it in fertile ground, that abundance will continue on. And he'll rebuke that devourer in your life. I never seen it so clear as just 2 weeks ago. And I was telling my kids that. I was saying, you know what? You guys need to give more. You guys need to give more. You want the enemy to be rebuked in your life? Give more. You don't want people to take advantage of you when you're doing business? Give more. Give more. And he'll rebuke the devourer. He'll shut the doors on the people you shouldn't do business with. And he'll open the doors on people you should do business with. And he'll give you creative ideas from God that'll bless you and turn your situation around. I was talking to my friend this week. He believes the same things I believe. He left New Brunswick 8 years ago with not 5 cents in his pocket. He went out west. Didn't have a clue of this job he started. Didn't know zero about it, but he loves God. And I'm telling you, he lives the word of God. And he's now making, him and his wife both are making six-figure digits. They just bought a big fancy house. They got a nice truck. They got an RV. Things that didn't exist to them. Things that didn't even seem to be a possibility. But they begin to put principles in place where they begin to give to God first and bless those that it needed to be blessed. And they are now living in the overflow. It works. It works. Pastor Ken can tell you stories after stories of my grandfather. I like hearing those stories. How God met him in the middle of snowstorms. God will meet you. If you're here today and you're wondering, how am I going to get out of this financial situation I'm in? How am I going to get my credit card paid off? How am I going to get this business problem I have solved? You see, we are to be good stewards with our money. But how many times have we gotten messes in life that we ask God to get us out of? Not just financial messes, right? Right? You know, you say the wrong thing to your boss or you say the wrong thing to your wife. You know, you get yourself in messes or you get in a dispute with a neighbor or this and that. And you need God to get you out of that mess. And he does get us out of these messes. He can get us out of these financial messes. And I believe that God today would say to some people, I can get you out of a mess. Let me tell you a story in 2 Kings. There was a widow woman in 2 Kings that her husband died. And she went to the prophet Elisha. And she said to him, my husband died and he had a debt he owed to a person. I have no money and the creditor is coming to take my two sons and put them in slavery. That was the debt payment. And Elisha said to her, what do you have in your house? Sometimes God will look at us and say, what do we have in our house? And she said, all's I have, there's nothing here. There's nothing here except this little jar of oil. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You go to all your neighbors, all the people in the surrounding areas, and you gather up as many jars as you can. So the woman and her sons, they went around and they gathered all the jars they could. And they brought them to the house. And he said, take them inside and shut the door. He didn't want anybody outside seeing what was going on. And he said, take that one little jar of oil and begin to fill one jar. And then do the next. She took that oil and she poured it in one and set it aside. And then she took another empty jar and she filled that and she set it aside. She took another jar, she filled that. And she did that with so many jars until she had filled every jar. And her son said, there's no jars left. And as soon as the jars were all full, the oil stopped flowing. The prophet said to her, take and sell some of the oil, these jars that are full now. Pay your debt off and take the rest of the jars and sell them to live off and raise your family. I'm telling you, you might be in a situation right now that you think, I have nothing left to, nothing. I have no resource left in my life to get myself out of this predicament I'm in. But you see, God can get you out of that predicament. He can take something as small as a little bottle of oil and begin to multiply it and to begin to do that to create an atmosphere that money can be generated to pay your debt. I'm telling you, we serve a God like that. We serve a God that cares about us. He cares about our need because you know why? Above all, I wish that you prosper. That's what the Bible says. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to live this blessed life. And he'll make provisions for us in our life if we'll do the simple principles. Start planting the seed. Plant the seed a little bit every week. You want more, plant more then. If you want a little bit, just plant a little bit. But if you want a lot, plant a lot. It's a principle. It's a principle. God wants to do a supernatural blessing in your life. Let's all stand. Oh my goodness. Are you grabbing hold of that today? I'm telling you, it's even getting down in my spirit more and more. I need to go home and find that little jar of oil and start pouring things in there. I'm telling you, everyone here has a jar of oil that God will take and bless and move you. God knows where you're at. God knows our needs. He knows that we live in life and we have struggles and we have wants and we have needs. But you know, the Bible says to seek first the kingdom. He'll supply all the needs. It says, take no thought of tomorrow. Plant the seed. Give him that first. Put your hope and your trust in Him, not in your own works and your own money. Let's just bow our heads. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I want prayer for that today in my life, in my home. I want to live that blessed life. I want to live that prosperous life. I want my jar of oil to be multiplied over and over. I'd just like you to lift your hand and I'm going to pray. Yes, we see that, all these hands. Let's just pray in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we first pay homage to you. We know that you're the name that's far above, far, far above all things, the great name that's above every name. And Lord, today we want to give you our first fruits. We want to plant seeds, Lord. We need help today to get out of situations in our life. We want to live in this overflow, this abundance. Lord, we want to take the monies that you give us and not just keep them for ourselves, but to reach the lost today, Lord. To reach our community in Kitchener. To bless those that need to be blessed. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just come against the enemy. We rebuke the devourer that would try to attack these households, these people's finances, their life. We bind that spirit, that devil, in the name of Jesus. We curse it. We command you to take your hand off of these people in the name of Jesus. We command these chains to be broken and breakthrough to come now, right now, in the name of Jesus. We declare these things. We speak these things in the spirit realm. We destroy you, Satan. We allow the Holy Spirit to rebuke the devourer for our sake. Lord, I pray that the people that are here today, that every step they take will be blessed of you. Lord, your word says that we are like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. Lord, I pray that everyone here will be like a tree planted by the waters that would always prosper. In everything they do, Lord, we speak this over their life in every area, Lord, whether it be physical, mental, physical, financial, spiritual, Lord. Touch them today, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare these things. May overflow blessing be upon us in the name of Jesus.